Good evening, everyone. Thanks to all of you for coming out. And before we read in the Word of God, we're going to open in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for all you've done. As mighty and powerful as you are, you took the low place, even lower than the angels. You came into this earth to die on the cross for our sins, the sins that we could only perish in hell for eternity for. And yet we thank thee for this. We deserve nothing but hell for eternity, but yet, because of your blood that was shed on the cross, and because we can put our faith in you, we can join you in paradise in heaven forever. And we just pray that this gospel that we are going to preach will be understood, and that anyone in this whole world, for whosoever, can come to believe it for themselves and accept that Jesus Christ is their Savior. So we just ask for help tonight to preach a clear gospel and to unharden hearts and open up minds that they might think about it. So we thank thee for all this, and we just pray for your help. Leave it in your hands. Amen. We're going to open by reading Luke chapter 16. But what I was thinking tonight is I'd tell how the Lord saved my soul. And I don't really have that interesting of a story, I guess, but we'll just tell it how it is. So whenever I was young, obviously I grew up coming to the gospel hall, and I felt like my parents were pretty faithful at coming out every meetings. And I'm not gonna lie, at times it was pretty sickening. Every single tent meeting during the summer, it was hot, bugs all over the place, and I didn't really feel like being there a whole lot. And, you know, whenever I used to not like that, thinking of it now, I definitely took that for granted. Yes, I could have thought that other people out there were having fun when I was sitting in a tent meeting, but let's say I grew up in a different family, and I died when I was young, or I died when I was old, but I never grew up under the sound of the gospel, or I never even heard the gospel for my whole life, and I ended up in eternity. I bet you I'd be changing my mind pretty quick if I was in hell. So I am thankful for that. But, you know, as we're going back to when I was young, I didn't extremely enjoy going to meetings all the time. But there was times when I definitely remember whenever my sister was troubled and she was asking my parents a whole bunch of questions about being saved. And, you know, as a little brother, I guess you didn't want to feel left out. You know, you would try to ask similar questions, but I guess they were just copied but put in your own words. And I remember asking questions about it, and I guess you could say, deep down inside, I really did want salvation, but I probably didn't want to put the time into it. And whenever my sister was saved, you know, that kind of was like, okay, she got saved, but maybe I'll just wait a little bit and then tell somebody I got saved. But so I had a profession whenever I was pretty young, like 6, 7, or 8. But my life definitely did not prove that I was a Christian. I know it, just the way you live doesn't prove if you're a Christian or not, but I just didn't read my Bible. I didn't, you know, put any more faith in Jesus than I already did, and etc. And after that, I guess I I still didn't enjoy going to meetings. And I don't really know why I would be pushing away, but where am I trying to go with this? But anyway, from when my first time I said I believed in the Lord Jesus, I don't think I fully meant it. I could have been back then, but I know for a fact that I wasn't feeding the spirit side if I was saved. And I know the flesh was winning. But going into my early teens, there was this one random night that Pete Smith from Ontario, I think, he was coming to the Maritimes to have gospel meetings. And the very first night that he was there, he spoke about this verse right here, and we'll read it. And again, it was just the very start of a children's meetings, and it was just this the first time he ever spoke in Springfield, I think. Well, as far as I can remember, he spoke about hell. And that if you die in your sins, that is where you're going to perish for eternity. And that scared the daylights right out of me. So, we'll read Luke 16 and 22. So, obviously, this is a story about a poor man and a rich man. And the poor man died, and the rich man died. And this is where they ended up. Luke 16 and 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Here's the rich man. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So the poor man was in Abraham's bosom in heaven. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that there which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So the poor man couldn't go to Lazarus, even if he tried. The poor man Lazarus couldn't go to the rich man who was in hell, even if he tried. And the rich man could not go into heaven and be comforted, even if he tried. It was impossible. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into the place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So, that's pretty self-explanatory. That one man went to heaven, one man went to hell. And then whenever Pete Smith that night spoke, it wasn't really about heaven, but it was basically how tremendous hell is going to be. And like I said earlier, it scared me really bad. And that night I told myself that that is one place I do not want to find myself after I die. And again, even if I was saved from an early age, I wasn't sure if I was gonna, let's say if I died, I wasn't sure if I was gonna be in heaven or not. So that night, I wanted to make sure, from absolute faith, that I would have been in heaven. So, let's go over to 1 Timothy. It's actually right here in the sign. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. I don't think I actually thought of this verse, but it's a very helpful verse if you're struggling, or it just hits you right in the feel goods and takes your pride away. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, obviously, this is Paul writing this, or I think so anyway. And he was a bad man, but you also got to think, one sin in God's eyes is enough not to enter into heaven. And I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that from as far as I could remember back, that I didn't obey my parents. I lied. I probably stole stuff. I probably stole dinky cars. I probably, I probably had evil thoughts. I knew I was a sinner. You didn't have to tell me that. And that this verse can, if you're completely honest with yourself, if you just look at the Ten Commandments and you honestly judge yourself, this verse is 100% for you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you can also put your name at the very back of that verse, of Bennett, who is the worst sinner in the world. He died for my sins too. And so when, after the meeting was done, again, I wasn't saved in the meeting, but on the way home, I'm sure I was pretty quiet, because I was just thinking of thoughts in my head and going over, and I was like, well, obviously people can be saved, and some people, if they're saved, then that means they're not going to hell, but they're going to be in heaven for eternity. And I don't know what exactly my thought process was, but I just remember we had to go to Bruce and Jeannie's after meeting for some reason. But I remember sitting in their driveway. I think it was in their driveway anyway, but that's not, I guess, the important thing. But it just came to my realization that because I was a sinner, and yet thinking of the verses whenever I was young, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, He already bore the whole world's sins for eternity. All you have to do is take that free gift of salvation and just admit that you're a sinner. Just admit that there is nothing that you can do for yourself. There's a verse that says, I think we'll actually read it later, but it's not of works lest any man should boast. And in that driveway, I remember coming to the realization that I guess all I got to do is just put my faith in Jesus Christ. And if I was meant to go to hell, that's the place I deserved. But because He took my sins away, I do not have to go in hell. But that's the moment that I knew that I was no longer going to hell for my sins. Maybe I'm making this confusing from here on out, but I just wanted to say as well that after I had that confession, there was a little bit of time after that where I'd read and I tried to be faithful, but after that I kind of fell off the bandwagon. And there's, in the book, in this Bible, there's verses that says how you have to feed the spirit. And if you don't feed the spirit, you're feeding the flesh. And whichever one you feed the most overcomes. So if I'm feeding the flesh, if I'm feeding my old self, the self that sins a lot, the self that wants to automatically drift from Christ, that if I'm feeding that, that's the way I'm going to go. If I'm feeding the Spirit, I'm going to be led more. I'm going to be held closer by Christ. But since that confession, like I said, I'd read and pray a little bit, but then it kind of gradually fell off. But then I struggled with doubts after. And like I said, because I never read my Bible enough after, and I still believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but there was other thoughts, like, is it good enough? Like, am I sure that he's going to cover my sins for eternity? And that was because even though you can be saved, Christ, once he has you, you will never lose the grasp of Christ. But the devil is always at work, even if it's one of Christ's loved ones, and that you believe in Christ, the devil is still going to try to make you fall. And I got just a couple of verses, if anybody here is struggling with doubts as well. Obviously, there's more verses than what I have, but I just want to help. So the first one's going to be Romans 10 and 9. Romans 10 and 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confess is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And going back to that driveway I was in that night, that's exactly what I did. I just simply, I guess you could say, gave up thinking that I could do anything for myself, how I personally could avoid hell, and that I just simply called out to the Lord, you're going to have to do this because I can't. And that's all it takes. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Another one that we can look to is John 3 and 16. You don't have to turn to these if you don't want to. I'll just try to skim through them fast and then I'll get down. Again, these are very simple verses, but if you're struggling with doubts, if you're struggling with even just how to grasp salvation, or I guess you can't grasp salvation, that's the Lord Jesus' job to give you salvation, but these are verses to just help you realize that you're a helpless sinner, and to just put your faith in him. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, or to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Other verse we'll read is John 10 and 27. John 10 and 27. My sheep hear my voice. And if you don't know what sheep is, that's the Lord Jesus called his sheep, the believers that put their faith in him. So since I put my faith in the Lord Jesus, I am considered his sheep, someone that he protects, someone that he takes care of. So we'll continue on. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then the last one, we'll flip over to Ephesians 2 and 8. I'll get there someday. Ephesians 2 and 8. There we are. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I hope these verses helped with anyone who is either struggling with their faith, struggling to realize if they're saved or not. But I just hope that you can read these verses, or even if you're struggling with receiving Christ as your Savior, just read these verses like there is no hope for you. Receive them, or read those verses as if you're trying, not as if you're trying, but read them as if you're giving up and Christ is the only option, because He is the only option. He is the only one that can save you from hell.